What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
The Volume.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Sunday, May 21st, and what a basketball game that was. So excited to talk about it. As always, we're live on AMP after the game, Sundays and Wednesdays, as well as Saturday, our basketball-free Silly Billy episodes. Check those out as well. Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good one.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
Motherfucking Mike coming to you.
Motherfucking
and a big
Mike.
The trailer. You got me with the dangler.
Just to be annoying, you know me?
A big Jenkins and Jones salute to senior executive producer Jackson Safon. Did not use any PTO tonight. Huge Celtics fan. Is nonetheless joining us on the pod live right now.
I'm glad someone in the fucking Celtics universe showed up tonight because goddamn
has some nuts.
Well, hold on. Let me. You know, we had a lot going on. I got to do my usual fact gathering here just so I can put the topic list together. Jackson, I know the Celtics were favored to win tonight. I think by 6 points. Did they end up winning the basketball game?
They did not.
They did not. So they're down. Not. Is that 2-0 in the series now?
They are down the exact same amount of games that the greatest player of all time is down.
Ooh, against
the seven seed. Now, what seed were the Celtics in this series? They were also the seven seed. Is that did I have that wrong?
Yeah.
Well, this is a great petty off right here. This is
the seven seed.
The Celtics are the seven seed.
Yeah. Good job. Good. Good researching.
You stake your producer of the sports podcast of the year reputation on that misinformation.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never even heard of the sport of basketball. So I wish I knew what you were talking about. The seventh seed. That is that good? Is that a good thing to be? I don't know.
Let me read you a tweet from Jenkins and Jones Twitter correspondent Magic Johnson. In my 44 years of being associated with the NBA, I never thought I'd see a Boston Celtics team, a franchise with 17 championships, quit. I know Celtics fans all over the world must be disgusted and devastated, The Miami Heat blew them. I assume he means blew them out. 128 to 102.
We blew them.
What a typo.
In game three. Fellas, I want your opinion on this too. But Jackson, any disagreement with the words of Lakers legend Magic Johnson?
Lakers legend Magic Johnson, once again, with, as he always does, the deepest, most thoughtful analysis of NBA basketball I could possibly hope for. God dang it, he nailed it again. Dang nabbit, he was right.
Bro, that ass whooping was so monumental. Magic Johnson was like, they weren't going out like this in 84, bro. like that's how bad of an ass whooping it was. He had to reminisce four fucking decades ago to when y'all had fight. Like, that's how historic this ass whooping was. God damn.
I think after game two, they just knew it was a wrap. Nobody gave a fuck tonight. You know what I'm saying? Just simulate the fucking series if you're going to be like this, G. Like, nobody had any heart. Nobody tried at all. They knew it was over, and they just said, fuck it, bro. And we saw it. But it's just nasty to watch. There's no reason this team should be getting cooked the way they're getting cooked by this Heat squad. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I said, like, Lucky the Leprechaun is rolling over in his teeny little grave. You know what I mean? He's in one of those, like, pet in graves in the backyard. In his little shoebox. He's just...
Damn, G.
Oh, man. Lucky the Leprechaun's hoping a coyote digs him up at this point, bro. You know what I mean? He's glad they didn't bury him deep enough.
I told you, I shouldn't have been a Saints since Kyrie stuffed on that motherfucker nose, dog. And saved that motherfucker out. It's been hell for the Celtics since.
If I told you guys tonight that Jimmy Butler had the same amount of made field goals as Peyton Pritchard, and one team lost by 26.
Jesus, bro.
How?
Did you, Jimmy, how do you have, like, 16?
He was 5 of 13. He had 16 points, 6 assists, and 8 rebounds. And his team won by 26 points.
I'm just saying, y'all did not try, G. Y'all did not try at all. That's embarrassing. Did you think y'all had a chance to win it at all after, like, the first 5 minutes of the game?
I did. I mean, it was not the most auspicious start, but it was the same thing it had been for the first couple of games, which was, you're like, man, are Strus and Vincent they're gonna keep hitting him? Dang. Okay. Well, like, gotta close out. Gotta do whatever. Like, it was the Heat were winning, but I didn't think it was embarrassment levels until the third quarter.
I mean, after the first quarter, it kind of seemed like they just didn't have it. You know what I mean? Like, just a general lack of effort. You know, they just thought, you know, they were playing like they weren't down 2-0. You know, and they were playing like they were lead, like they had some room to fuck up. And it's just, it's nasty, bro. I love Tatum, too, but golly, bro.
So, Jackson, last serious question. Someone tweeted, I thought it was a fair point, like, this has got to be pretty high up there on a worst losses list in franchise history, just in terms of, like, the momentousness of the moment versus how bad the team was, how little effort there was, you know, be down 30 points in the third quarter. Well, how do you feel about that? You obviously weren't alive for when the Celtics used to compete, as Magic Johnson was saying, but, like, how does sit with you?
Thank you. Yes, correct.
As the Celtics fan?
I mean, I've seen a fair amount of Celtics beat reporters tweeting, like, this is the worst loss in 10 years, 12 years, 14 years, something like that. And I think that's probably true. My memory isn't, like, perfect, but I want to say they lost by, like, 40-something or 30-something to the Lakers in the 2009 finals.
This that was a fun game.
Yeah. This feels like when you're taking what you said into account, like, stakes – importance of the Celtics coming out and putting forth, like, the best possible effort, shot making, whatever, the best possible effort as a team that they could put out. I can't remember something this devastating in that specific lens since the 2009 finals.
Like, you had Jeff Van Gundy, like, literally on television, like, put in someone who cares. Like, but, like, get, like, these dudes don't care. Like, put someone in who cares. I've never seen a shit like that before, bro.
Bro, the season was on the line tonight. Like, we've never seen a 3-0 comeback. Everybody fucking knows you have to win this game. And they got blown out by 26 points, and you know, with fucking Gabe Vincent going crazy. Like, it's just I mean, we talked about, you know, our preview here. We were like, you know, the Celtics are going to win. It's just too much talent there. Bro, that shit doesn't mean shit. Not with those dudes. Like you know, I've said before, you know, Tatum and Jaylen might be the best duo in the league. I don't know about that anymore either, bro. It's just been embarrassing. I have been offended watching how little they care. And you know what I'm saying? It's just been that type of fucking ass whooping in this series, especially tonight.
It's just so weird, as good as they are, how bad they've been in the moments they needed to be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they don't play four full quarters. They just they have like these lulls, and you know, Miami takes full advantage of that. You know what I mean? They get as much as they can out of their players, Spoelstra does. And I think we've got as little as we could out of the players today. You know what I mean? And I just, like you said, with the season on the line, just not even trying. Like, you're down 2-0, you know, like, you could come back from 2-0. You fucked off those first two games, yeah, home games. You are much better than this team. Y'all are losing because y'all aren't doing what y'all should be doing. The Lakers are losing because they're not as good as the Nuggets. The Nuggets are just better. The reason the Celtics are losing is because they're not doing what they could and should be doing. There's no reason for what's going on in this series, bro. And even the fourth quarters with Tatum not getting the ball, Tatum getting locked up, turning the ball over when he had, I mean, I hate doing this because I got a St. Louis hat on right now. I love this nigga, man. But it's hard. It's been hard to watch. It's been hard to watch in the winning moments when shit needs to be done, when, you know, you're one of the best players in the world and you're not getting it done, bro. It just seems like and to a degree, as good as he is and good as he's been this season, it seems like he's still not quite there. You know what I mean? He hasn't got over the hump he needs to get to be the guy. You know what I mean?
And I think there's plenty of blame that deserves to go on the players. We talked a lot about Joe Mazzulla on this pod, and the Twitterverse talked a lot about Joe Mazzulla. All warranted. But also, plenty of blame deserves to go on the players, because at the end of the day, not this game. Like, I mean this game, yes. But to your point, like, Tatum needs to just go get the ball at a certain point in those last couple games. That being said, it's sure as shit a lot easier to find the new coach than it is to find the new 6'10 wing who can average 30 a game and also play so it doesn't matter. Like, I know that Tatum deserves blame and Brown deserves blame and Marcus Smart and Horford, like the heart, quote unquote, heart of this team guys, deserve blame. But you're not replacing them easily, if ever.
You shouldn't try to replace Tatum.
Not for
like,
10 or 15, 20
yeah,
years.
Yeah, you shouldn't, so yeah.
Because of that simple reality, you just have to replace the coach. And you have to make some player personnel moves for sure, but you simply have to replace the coach after a series like this.
Do you think they could keep the coach, but maybe he just needs like 5 or 6 weekly viewings of the town?
Right. If you increase the amount of viewings,
is it possible that he's just like 1 or 2 weekly viewings of the town short of unlocking his like full potential?
Well, I'm actually wondering if he should change to, this was pointed out to me this afternoon, to a different Boston movie. Maybe Good Will Hunting or something. Like, I don't know if like the town, like, let's go like be criminals and steal from Fenway Park, if that's like the mindset we need.
You know? Maybe I'll be honest with you. I feel like the first time I really noticed Joe Mazzulla was when he was wearing the "Whose Car Are We Taking" hoodie, and I thought that was hard as shit. I love the town.
Yeah, that's
a great stories like that are cool when you win, and when you lose, they are deeply, deeply embarrassing.
Nah,
that's cause for firing.
The thing with me is, like, you know, he's wearing that hoodie, which is like the real nigga-ish line ever. You know what I'm saying? And then he takes Tybo classes or something. Like
No. Let me.
I know what really class he's taking, but like,
no, but let
you're
me
not really taking those classes if you're willingly, you're not really competing if you're willingly getting in headlocks, bro. That's cardio. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, let me read this. This is a story from April. Joe Mazzulla practices jiu-jitsu and willingly gets put in a chokehold to simulate the high intensity of the NBA playoffs. Subhead, this isn't the only unorthodox thing Mazzulla does, but if it leads to a championship for the Boston Celtics, there likely won't be many complaints.
When was this? What month was it? April?
April.
So they were, you know, still pretty solid, right? In April, am I tripping?
Yeah.
I mean, during the first half of the season, they were breaking records for offensive efficiency. They were the most efficient team in maybe NBA history for the first half of the season.
They were the most efficient team in NBA history for the first two months of the season.
You feel me? And like they become this in the biggest moments against a team that is missing their third best player, who is 24 points a game, and they have Gabe and Caleb cooking their ass, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, G. Jimmy Butler didn't even have a Jimmy Butler game. It's crazy. And they got cooked by 30. It's crazy to me.
Well, I mean, Spo is choking his ass out right now. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like, he used to it.
Yes. I mean, shit. He got that motherfucker in the rear naked right now, goddamn.
Hey, he need to tap out, nigga. Shit. Tap out, my boy. It's
that motherfucking vein in that forehead is bulging right now, dog. Bro. Like, it's over. you ain't getting tap, out of this nigga, one, bro.
Tap, bro. It ain't worth it, dog. Sheesh.
Okay, Tyler, here's a question. Bomani made a point about this on Twitter, and I thought it was worth investigating. Does this force us to go back and even further be disgusted by the Philadelphia 76ers that they blew a 3-2 lead to this Boston Celtics team? Or do you look at the Heat as so singularly representative of like the playoff Christmas spirit or whatever that you just are in this series? Or do you look back at the Sixers like, y'all lost to these motherfuckers?
I mean, like, bro, we talked about it, you know, the whole time that series was going on. That was the most unserious fucking series we got this postseason between the Celtics and the Sixers. Nobody wanted to win that motherfucker, bro. And I tweeted this out last night, bro. I was like, bro, give us Denver and Miami, because these are the only motherfucking teams that showed up this postseason and have not fucked around. Right. These are the only motherfuckers who showed up, you know, in those motherfucking business suits and handled their motherfucking business. Like, I'm very much looking forward to that Denver-Miami series, bro. I think that's going to be a good fucking one.
We wanted Lakers-Celtics because of, like, they're Lakers-Celtics. But the two professional ball clubs are the ones that are winning. Mm-hmm. Flat the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? They got the professional basketball players to show up and do their job and play basketball whether they feel like it or not. Yeah. Whether they think they can win or not, they're going to give it everything they fucking have. We'll, and you see it, bro.
We'll look ahead to that most likely series in a minute, but we
ain't no most likely.
We let's
niggas talk, is cooked. Are you trying to think the Lakers gonna come back?
No, Jesus.
Okay,
Christ,
okay. I'm saying. Jesus, let's not lie to ourselves. Wow. We believe in a lie, but nigga, yeah,
no, that would be a bit much. Let me read you. Let's talk a little bit more about the Heat. Obviously, fun and easy to make fun of the way the Celtics played, but what the Heat are doing is pretty insane. David Aldridge tweeted, Pat Riley is one win away from his 19th appearance in an NBA Finals as a player, coach, or executive, which means that he will have played and coached or been the top decision maker for his team in 24.7% of all finals in NBA history. I mean,
that's incredible.
Pat Riley's the most Italian, non-Italian in history, so I'm always very happy for his success. But, like, you have to just see this man, like we said, like, this is the ghost of playoffs present, right? Like, this, like, there's just something about a dude like that that is especially, I mean, so you got to start giving credit there because that's insane, 24.7%.
Yeah, I grew up thinking this motherfucker was Italian my whole life. Like, the Armani suits.
I thought
suits,
he was Italian, low-key,
yeah, the Armani suits, the stint in L.A., the stint in New York, the stint in Miami. Back. Right, yeah, but bro, this motherfucker was from, like, Kentucky shit, right?
He
played for Adolf Rupp. Like, goddamn, that's like the least Italian.
He's not affiliated or nothing.
No, Pat Riley is he's Guido fishing. You know what I mean? Like,
he liked the style.
He's WAP fishing.
Jersey
he's
Shore
out here,
fishing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's Jersey fishing. He got the slick back hair. You know, he got the Armani suits. Yeah, no, he's Italian, but he's not Italian. But he's Italian. That's how I look at it. I'm counting.
I feel you.
I'm counting this shit. I'm writing the order, Sons of Italy.
I would
America.
Too, bro. Like, I would too. I ain't mad at it.
He's more Italian than Mike Tirico. I'll tell you that motherfucking much.
Good old Tirico. Mike the Mooley.
Yeah, rank the Italianness of Joey Gabagool, Mike Tirico, and fucking Pat Riley. Pat Riley's number one. He's got to be number one.
Easily.
Okay, in terms of the Heat, I mean, I think one of the things that this playoffs has definitely shown, and this is why the NBA is looking to do the midseason tournament, looking to do everything they can, there is no argument for being invested particularly in the regular season at this point. You have the Heat as a play-in team absolutely dismantling the top two, the two teams who, I don't know, could you, were you even allowed to bet on anyone to make the finals out of the East besides the Bucks and the Celtics?
No.
You know, not a chance. And they're absolutely dismantling them. But, you know, for all of the, and they're doing the no one believes in us narrative on television as we speak. Like, if you look at the numbers, the actual statistics of these same players in the regular season, it doesn't make sense that they're doing what they're doing right now. So what is that? Is it truly just that the regular season is an 82-game preseason and we should not be looking at anything other than what we've seen from people in the playoffs? Like, how do we evaluate this Heat team based on what they're doing in the playoffs compared to, I mean, I know we made fun of John, but all three of us were on the same shit with the Heat at the end of the
season. Yeah, you said
season.
The same thing. You looked at him and you said, yeah, that was the perfect.
We don't need to see any more games of this team. And then the playoffs started, it's like, okay, now we're in the regular, like now we're really playing.
Now it really matters.
So
right.
Tyler, how do we look at this team and evaluate what all of that means at this point?
Bro, like when we had the whole little playoff preview, my dumbass said, The Heat are done. I don't think I know they flip a whole different switch in the postseason, but this team just looks like they don't have that gear. And here the fuck they are about to go to the finals, right? Like, wrong as fuck about them. Wrong as fuck about the Bucks. Wrong as fuck about the Nuggets. I think that when you talk about the postseason and you talk about the regular season, we just can't fucking overlook coaching. Like, I think that's a mistake we made in our predictions for this fucking, you know, Heat Celtics series. You can't underlook the guys who, you know, the fucking, you know, the coaches who have been here year after year after year, who knows, you know, the whole different fucking speed and the whole different approach that postseason basketball is versus regular season. So, I'm just at the point now where, like, of course, you know, we can glean things from the regular season. We can see teams that look formidable, teams that have weaknesses and such, but I mean, when it comes to the postseason, you also have to take into account the guys who've been there, the coaches who've been there. Like, that's my main takeaway from this postseason.
What's wild to me is, like, coaching matters so much because if you look at the Heat, their team is not as good, but everything looks so much easier on the offensive end. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And no matter how much better you are, if you're taking difficult shots and NBA players are taking open shots, good shots, it's going to be hard to beat the team that's taking those open, solid shots. And like the Celtics, it's like everything's defended. They do a good job of making it difficult for you. So even if you're a great player, you have to really work. And I mean, that's what, you know, I wasn't thinking about. I mean, we didn't see it either, you know, prior to the offseason. But that's what they've been doing. Is like, yes, the Celtics are way better, but the Heat are going to make it difficult for a team that already makes it difficult on themselves at times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And even the Nuggets series too. Like, a lot of times watching the Lakers, I'm thinking, I hope this guy makes this shot. And when people miss the shots on the Nuggets team, I'm shocked that they miss the shot because they're getting so much better looks. And so that's what these teams are good at, getting what they want. You know what I mean? Even though the Heat aren't as good, they get what they want and they make it hard for you to get what you want on the other end. And that equates to wins in the postseason, especially when you got motherfuckers that, you know, like I said, will clock in and work hard and play hard on both ends of the court. You got guys that are sold out, you know what I'm saying, for Spoelstra. And I feel the same way for Mike, for Malone, you know what I'm saying? I feel the same way.
I know it's some, I was going to say, I know some Hoosiers ass shit to say, but this postseason has shown us that the team that moves best as a unit is going to beat the more talented
teams. Facts.
Right? Like you look at how the Nuggets made light work of Phoenix. Like, you know, fucking Devin Booker and KD, that if we're talking just straight talent duos, that's probably the most talented duo in the NBA. Right? And those motherfuckers had to be historic to get
perfect.
To. Right?
Literally
right,
perfect.
Right. They had to be historic to get those two wins out of that fucking series that they got. So that's been my big takeaway from this postseason is the teams that move best as a unit are advancing here. And that's what we're going to see with Denver and Miami in this finals.
That's a good way to transition into talking about the Nuggets-Lakers series. Jackson made the point before we started recording, and Jackson, I'll let you make your own point. But, you know, just that, like, both of these teams, the Nuggets and the Heat, are sort of the antidote to some of the complaining people have done about the free agency super team era. Right, Jackson? Mm-hmm. He's unmuting his microphone.
Yeah, exactly. The Heat, Jimmy Butler is the big free agent acquisition. They didn't draft Jimmy Butler, but four undrafted players. They drafted Bam. Like, they have had their coach for a long time, which is also a thing we see less and less of in the NBA. The Nuggets, I mean, Malone hasn't been there as long as Spo, but, like, they've had their coach through some ups and downs. They drafted all of their best players. They drafted Jokic. They drafted Murray. They drafted Michael Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is – and talk – and to the point you guys have been making the whole pod, specifically the last segment, and they play as a unit mm-hmm. on both ends. And it's the most – cliche ass Republican round ball ass thing to say, but that it's fashion, real. Yeah. And I think that it's really fascinating to see that now to be that also those things, those boxes to check don't necessarily automatically make you great. The For Celtics sure. drafted all their best players. They're not, they collapsed in historic fashion. It doesn't automatically make you great, but it really is interesting to see that the two best teams in the playoffs this season, the two best teams, which means the two best teams of this season, have done it in the antithetical way to mm-hmm. much of team building and team success in the last 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun to watch.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, exactly. he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of that.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert. Sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie doesn't just get your home projects done. Angie gets them done well. With 20 plus years of experience combined with new tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. My wife and I own our house. We definitely have the home improvement bug. Been doing a lot of work on the house lately, and I will for sure be using Angie because instead of calling around, getting quotes from all these different places, like we just had turf put in the backyard. It took me 3 weeks just to get the quotes. We can pop our zip code and the project we want done into Angie, and boom, we got the quotes for the different contractors who can do the work right there.
With over 220,000 pros in our network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job well done.
Angie can help you get the best price for your project. Angie has projects that are priced up front and clearly lays out the cost before you buy. Angie has cost guides that will tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area as well. With Angie, you can request quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps.
The pros in our network are locally based. The pros have been rated and reviewed by others in your area who have actually used their services.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the website, you can have Angie tackle your home service project from start to finish, or you can research and connect with local pros for your specific project. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. All right, let's talk about this Lakers-Nuggets series.
Has it, Mike? Has it been fun?
You know what?
It's been fun. It has actually been fun. Much as I hate seeing the Lakers, Bron, go out like this, watching that Nuggets team, like we talked about this, probably were like, when you went into the motherfucking series and you said, bro, you know what I mean? And I know I was, that's nasty work. We were going to need the refs to be on our side.
We were always going to need the refs to get it. The Lakers were always going to need the refs to beat the Nuggets, bro.
That when we talked about that team because we can't have these lulls we have. Yeah. And we'll, like last game three, first quarter, they got to a lead. You know what I'm saying? We kind of figured it out. And then they run off in the fourth because we have these lulls. And you can't do that against a team like this that plays, you know, in the way they do as a team constantly, bro. And the thing is, too, defensively, like we talk about both ends of the court, they don't have like a guy that we know is like a dog. Like, you know, I mean? It's like the defensive dude. You know what I mean? They have some solid guard defenders. But they are in the positions they need to be in, and they're not late with switching the transition and shit like that.
They have a head coach who understood from the beginning of the season, we don't have defenders on this team. We have an incredible offense.
KCP, Bruce Brown.
Yes, you know, they don't have a system defense. So what they have is an incredible offense. I mean, KCP's not there if he's only playing defense. It's not the way they put the team together.
For sure,
right?
For sure.
So what he did all season, because Peyton's there, I've watched a lot of Nuggets games this year. He convinced that team, I need you to play hard on defense. I'm not expecting you to be great, but we need some runouts for Jamal Murray. You know, like, and we need you to just gum it up sometimes. And like KCP's done a great job of that in the Lakers series. Absolutely. Jokic still is like good enough on offense that's what he, you know, needs to
he's
do.
He's not food on defense though. I think
he's not, but it's defense. But it's because, yeah, exactly, but it's because they're all playing hard. And that is like, so you said it, it's sad to say that, but the two teams that have played hard every game you've seen are going to be in the finals. And there's teams like the Lakers with two all-time greats on the team, and you can't say they played hard every game. You look at the Celtics, one of the most storied franchises in the history of sports in America, with two all-NBA players. You can't say they played hard every game. Like, that's a wild thing to say, but it's true.
And also one thing too, like even with the Lakers, you can't say they played smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many times do you look at a shot? And I talked about like them getting the shots they want, but they also the shot selection is so good for the Nuggets, bro. Like, you don't look at shots like that's a bad shot. So partly it's not, you know, partly it's the decisions they're making on offense is when they're shooting the ball. The person that I remember playing, I was playing 2K with Swaggy P. And he shot the ball with a nigga. I don't forget the nigga it was, but I remember him yelling, "Not him!" You know what I mean? While he was playing, right? And that's what we getting a lot of from our side. Not him! You know what I mean? You
or don't not get there.
That. No, not there. What are you doing? You don't get that as a fan of the Nuggets or while watching the Nuggets. You feel me? So yeah, man. Like they're not only playing hard, they're playing smart. And that's how you win basketball games, regardless of talent. That's how you play a team like the Phoenix, where it has two gods and make it difficult to the point where they have to be as near perfect as a basketball player can be to win two games. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So going off what you said, John, there's an incredible moment in game two when Jamal Murray was thinking it up that first half. And Michael Malone told him, "I don't care if you're missing, keep shooting." And he came out and had that incredible fucking second half.
Was it 18 in the fourth? Something like that?
Yeah, he went something fucking like that, crazy. Yeah. And that's
23 in the fourth? Jesus.
Yeah, and that lends to your point. It's that Murray wasn't taking dumb shots. The shots just weren't
dropping.
They
just weren't falling.
Right.
And when he went crazy, I remember thinking, these are good shots. He's hitting great shots. And the offense they were running, like they ran, it was like a down screen and a rescreen or some shit. And I mean, like, I think Schroeder was guarding him. I mean, no, it was Vanderbilt. Just act like, bro, got caught in the under screen. Nigga, 6 feet away. butt naked. The man just hit three threes prior to that. And so, like, dog, like, every shot he was making, those 23 points, were good, makeable shots. Even though he was on fire, it wasn't like he was doing heat checks. And they still was getting that, knowing he was hot. We couldn't do shit with him. Because the offense they run, you know what I mean?
Does it feel to you guys, I mean, I'm, you know, look, we're all old sports fans at this point. Vinny's taking it hard. But to me, by the end of that game last night, it was like, that's a better team, bro. I mean, I made my peace with it. And that's how I felt. Y'all know that's how I felt coming into the season or coming mm-hmm. into the series. It was like, I felt great about the Lakers' chances against the Grizzlies. I felt great about their chances against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. The Nuggets are just a different team, man. Like, they're a complete team. They all know their roles. And as soon as Murray had, I want to say it was the second game of the playoffs that he went off for like 37 or something. And they interviewed him afterwards and he was getting emotional talking about coming back from the knee injury. And it was mm-hmm. like, oh, well, if that dude is that dude.
This means something.
Yeah. Different. You know what I mean? Let me go back and revise everything I said about the playoffs or whatever. So does it make it easier for you guys to be like, hey, like that's just a better team? Or is it still like we're losing one of Bron's last years here, potentially, whatever? Like, how do y'all feel about the series? Where are you in the process of grief for the Lakers season?
I'm firmly at the acceptance stage. Like I'm not even phased at all. I remember, you know, in the group chat, I was telling y'all that you know, the Grizzlies were food, the Warriors are food. Nuggets had me stressed, though. I told y'all that before we even fucking met mm-hmm. these dudes, right? And I picked mm-hmm. the Lakers a series because my whole thing was you know, healthy Bron, healthy AD have never lost a playoff series. We truly don't know what their ceiling is. These motherfuckers hit their ceiling this series. I'll tell you that goddamn much. Did they hit their ceiling so hard and scorch their fucking neck and their shoulders? I'll tell you that goddamn much. So, nah, it's for sure not at all like hurting or disappointing. The Nuggets are a machine, and I've said, you know, that they're the best team this postseason. So, you know, even though I thought that the Lakers had a chance to pull it off, because like I said, we didn't know the fucking ceiling of Bron and AD, but Bron isn't 100% here either. Not making excuses, nope. But it just is what it is.
It just is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, these Nuggets are a fucking machine. It wasn't like me sleeping on Jokic, right? Like I told y'all before, I was wrong as fuck about this Nuggets team. And my concerns with this Nuggets team did not have anything to do with fucking Jokic or Jamal Murray, right? I was like, bro, I don't know how you can play so many Jokic and MPJ minutes and not have a defender out there. And Aaron Gordon stepped the fuck up and assumed that role this postseason. Fucking Jamal Murray is going 92 MJ out here, right? They are fine in regards to my major concern about them. So yeah, I'm like I said, I'm firmly in the acceptance stage. You know, good job, good effort from the Lakers, but these Nuggets are a fucking machine, and I don't think any of us would be surprised if they win it all.
To me, like, you know, they, offensively they're great, right? But that team defense we talk about, they remind me of the Lakers team that beat them, you know what I'm saying, in the playoffs in 2020. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where Aaron Gordon kind of plays that grimy-ass Dwight Howard role. You know what I mean? Got a great big that's playing solid. You know, Dwight Murray's playing great. You know what I'm saying? Like, they kind of remind me of how the defense is where they really stress you the fuck out and, you know, and win games. But obviously they're great on offense as well. But yeah, man, like, I'm not stressed. I'm not stressed at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, game three, I didn't yell at the TV once.
I think the other thing too is like, you know, the Lakers come into this, unlike the Boston Celtics, who were, you know, favored to come out of the East after the Bucks lost by quite a bit. The Lakers came into this series as underdogs. The Nuggets came into it as the favorites, and they
had to play like we hadn't seen them play in order to beat.
They needed
this
to
Nuggets
take
team.
Another step. And I think, as Tyler said, they're doing the Mitch McConnell turtle. Like, they hit the ceiling. Their necks don't exist anymore. Like, they hit it going as fast as they could. And, you know, it is what it is. But I have to say I'm incredibly impressed by – I'm impressed enough I'll adhere to his bizarre name request. I'm incredibly impressed by Michael Malone – Mikael Malone.
Mikael.
Because, you know, they're the one seed. After the Bucks went out, I think everyone's kind of looking at the Nuggets like, oh. You know, that was a potential really big hurdle in the road. Like, this could really be the Nuggets year. And he still has every member of that team with the, like, we believe Warriors mentality as the fucking one seed. Because why? Because Stephen A. Smith is talking about the Lakers, who have a million times more fans than the Nuggets, but he has the whole locker room acting like psychopaths. Like, we're going to fucking show them that our two-time MVP deserves some respect. Like, we're a one seed that's capable of reaching the finals. Like, I've never seen anything like it, but you can see the genuine anger coming out of him in these press conferences, and it's reflected in the way that his team is talking and responding to him. And that ultimately, when you have dudes this good, that's such a huge part of coaching, that motivational aspect. And I don't think he could be doing a better job than he currently is doing.
Yeah, he been talking spicy as fuck, and it's been bleeding over into like his players, like you know, Jamal Murray was saying shit like, when we go to the finals and shit. And I was watching that shit like, bro, this is going to be like the greatest highlight reel ever if they lose to the Lakers, but there will be no highlight reel because they are going to beat the fuck out the Lakers in advance of the finals. And like you said, you know, Malone had got his guys to buy into that because they for sure play like they have a chip on their shoulder. It's so fucking evident.
For the Lakers to win, not only were we going to play great, but I thought that the Nuggets just might have to nut up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, guys not step up because it's fucking the conference finals. They had a chance to make it to the finals, and they kind of, like, tighten up a little bit.
But they're having no nut November right now. Yep.
You said what?
I said they're having no nut November right now.
Oh, you feel me? They ain't touched their dick in weeks. You know what I'm saying? They don't even touch their dick when they pee. They just pull the motherfucker out and let it just, you know what I mean? They're going crazy, bro. So, yeah, man, them boys, the coaching has turned now around and made guys feel like, yo, we supposed to be here, fuck what they thought. And yo, yes, they're the number one seed, but we weren't respecting them. Yeah. And yes, the Lakers are a bigger draw, so the media is going to talk about the Lakers more, even in Nuggets wins. But also, I get why they would do turn it into fodder. That's smart. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, I get why the media did what they did and we're talking the way they were, but I also get why the Nuggets turned it into like, yo, my nigga, put some respect on their name. They didn't lose. Yeah. We beat them. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's this weird incentive. It's actually not weird. It's actually very simple that media packages are put together for people who will purchase them, right? Like, you know, like there's more people listening to this right now who are bummed the Lakers are losing than they are happy that the Nuggets are winning. That's just even factoring in Lakers haters. You know what I mean? So like, that is what it is. And, you know, part of me as I was watching his press conferences was kind of rolling my eyes like, yeah, the fucking We Believe one seed. Like, boo goddamn who. Like, you don't, like, the media attention is not the reward for winning. Winning is the reward for winning. You know what I mean? Right. But it's so apparent that what he's doing is for his team. He doesn't give a fuck about the media.
If it gets you a chip, fuck what anybody says about it.
He doesn't give a fuck if the media is giving Jokic enough credit. He wants Jokic feeling like he's not getting enough credit. And there's no doubt in my mind that he's succeeding at that shit. So salute to him. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would love for the Lakers to win game four.
I mean, look.
Just something. Give us something, man. You feel me?
I'm not mad at Malone because, I mean, the fact is we have a guy staking his claim as the best in the world who could be perhaps stepping into his era. And it seems like everyone's doubting him all along the way. When if this was someone else, if this was another player, I think there would be like a whole little coronation ceremony, like everybody kind of rooting for it. You know what I mean? And we're just kind of brushing this shit under the rug. So I get Malone's frustration there.
Even with Giannis, because even with Giannis, people talk shit, but as he was doing his thing, motherfuckers were like, oh shit, there was that, like you said, there was that coronation there for Giannis. And that was the year I think that Joker got the MVP, and then Giannis had that 50 point triple double. So you're exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about what seems to be an inevitability of a Nuggets Heat finals. This will be the round where I do not say blank team just has more talent than the Heat. I'm not going to fucking say it. Nah. I'm not going to say it.
Nah.
I do believe that it's true to an extent, but I'm not going to say that shit about the Heat. I have already gotten very excited about this series. I think that, first of all, if you're a Hoop fan, I don't see how you don't love every single thing about the fucking Miami Heat right now. I don't see how you don't love Jimmy Butler going forehead to forehead with Grant Williams talking shit. Jimmy Butler doing the timeout back at Al Horford today.
Oh man, I mean, petty guy.
Like, how do you not love that? But this is. I mean, bro,
that's hoops. Hoops.
I love that kids grow up with a healthy view of sports, and that all these kids are friends with each other. All the elite kids that go up into the NBA together. I would never one of the people who complained about that with like the Bron generation of Hoopers. But this is more fun for television, bro. It's just more fun for television to see motherfuckers talking shit and backing it up the way that the Heat are right now. And then they're going to run into a Nuggets team that, as we said, I mean, they are a fucking machine with a chip on their shoulder that they, whether they do or don't deserve it, they are the best team right now and have been each round of the playoffs, as we've discussed. So how do y'all feel about this series? What's your excitement level at? You know, what are you most excited about?
I'm super fucking excited for this series, and I feel like giving a prediction disrespects whatever team I pick against, right? Like that's where I'm at with this. Like, you know, like you said, of course, you know, the Nuggets are the more talented team, but talent hasn't meant shit to these fucking, you know, to this fucking Miami squad throughout this whole fucking playoff run. I'm very much looking forward to it because, you know, like I said, bro, these are the only teams this postseason who have not played with their food, have came here to take care of business. So
they don't play with their meat at all, Tyler.
They don't play with their meat at all. As good friend of the pod, Doc Rivers once mentioned.
our buddy BDDR.
Yeah, BDP, baby. I'm very much looking forward to this series so much, and I can't believe there's motherfucking dorks out here who are playing armchair, you know, TV execs, like, oh, make up the ratings. Fuck the ratings, motherfucker. These are the two best fucking teams of this postseason. The two teams who get after it, who played the most beautiful, well-executed basketball. I'm super fucking excited for this series.
I think this is the one for the hoopers, bro. We got the Warriors, Lakers, and that was, you know, play the hits. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was top 40. You feel me? This is the album cuts right here. This is the one for the hoopers, bro. Like, and you said, like, bro, I could talk all day about how I think the Nuggets are a better team. Who gives a fuck? It don't matter, bro. Like, it hasn't mattered the entire playoffs. The most talented team in the playoffs got their ass kicked the first round. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, due to the Heat team. I'm really just interested in seeing how Spo mucks it up. Because, you know, what he's going to do to make it easier on his guys, yes. And the brain part of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is he going to do to muck it up for these boys on the offensive end? Because that's the only way he's going to win. And if anybody got the motherfucking supercomputer to do it, it's Spo. But, yeah, Mike Malone has his guys playing great. He has a solid, solid, solid good team. Bought the fuck in. And same for the the Heat. And they got that supercomputer on the other end. And I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup. You feel me?
Yeah.
All right, or maybe we'll have the first ever, maybe we'll have two of the first ever 4-0 comebacks. I don't think Scott Foster's got it in him. I'm just going to personally challenge him, man. You know, I don't think you got the juice anymore to get the Lakers out of the fucking Western Conference Finals, bro.
It's over, man. It's over, Mike.
No, he's got,
I think,
like,
you got a little, like, you got a little bit of hope in you. You just stomp that shit out, baby. You know what I mean? It's easy that way.
Any hope I had was extinguished when Bron ran his left shoulder into Scott Foster's whistle and fucking smashed his lips in. Holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
All right. We will see. Well,
talk about the fight?
Oh, y'all want to talk about the fight?
We don't have to.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Tyler, you go first.
Hold on.
Haney Lomachenko. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you didn't even pay attention, did you, Mark? Yeah,
I was logged completely the fuck off after the Lakers lost. Who won the fight?
Okay, I get it. I respect that.
But set it up for me. Who won?
Go ahead, Tyler.
Devin Haney versus Lomachenko. You know, John, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, Haney's the guy who's kind of on the ascension. He still hasn't fought his best matches, and Loma's best matches are behind him, you know, and that was the whole dynamic there. But a lot of people are saying, you know, Haney won on the cards. He's the champ. And, you know, the old fucking boxing adage is you can't beat the champ on the card. You got to take the belt from him. A lot of people think, you know, Loma got robbed there. But you know, we had this conversation in the group chat. And I was like, bro, I mean, that's just the game. You know, you're not going to beat the champ on the card. I'm looking forward to the next steps here. Like, I think the fight a lot of people want is Shakur Tank. Is what's the next? I'm gonna lean into.
I've got my hand fully on my dick.
Yeah,
this is not No Nut November over here, brother. I'll tell you that.
I'm gonna lean fully into your expertise.
It's mucho nut May. It's mucho nut May for John
right
now.
Facts, baby. Love the alliteration. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm gonna lean fully into your boxing expertise here, John, because, you know, Shakur showed up, you know, and he was in the motherfucking ring after the fight talking shit about how Haney didn't want to see him. So, is Haney Shakur? Is that the prelim to whoever gets Tank?
I think Tank is a cash cow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think you got to earn your way to Tank. You know what I'm saying? After this showing that Devin had, I don't know if he'll have the opportunity to fight Tank. I think he's fucking food. I don't think he'd want to fight Tank right now. Maybe he wants to get the bag, but those belts are not, you know, Tank is going to sit his ass down. But I don't think he's beating either of them. I think he's going to, I don't know where he's going to go. And also, he won on the cards when he got all the belts. He won on the cards. It was a dominating win. He jabbed the nigga to death. You feel me? It was a dominating win. But you know what I'm saying? He won on the cards. To me, like, Lomachenko, like you said, he's supposed to be the guy that's coming up. Loma's was smaller. How you let the smaller guy bully you? You saw the fight?
Yeah. Loma was getting all up in his body, yeah.
He was all up in his body, pushing him around. You feel me? Like, bro, he made the pace. He completely cooked him in the second half of the round. His best round was round 10, and one of the judges gave that to not it wasn't a tie, gave that shit to Devin, and it wasn't even close. The fix was in, and so I think that the issue isn't like not you just can't win on the cards. I feel like, bro, like boxing is wrestling at this point, bro. Mm-hmm. We're like they're trying to set up things for the future, and I think the thing with this is like. Bill's father said that, you know, the fight wasn't even close. Nigga, like, we didn't watch that bitch. Like, we didn't watch your son lose. I get how you know, that's your son and all that, but, like, you ain't got to lie. And also, you ain't got to lean into the fact that, you know what I'm saying, that you beat him if you Devin, knowing that everybody watched the same fight and nobody thinks you won. Every fighter that watched it didn't think he won that fight. Thought Lomo, every fighter, Bud, Shakur, you know what I'm saying, Errol, all the big names, Garcia, said that Lomo won that fight. And you going to walk around with them belts talking shit like, you know what I'm saying, like, bro, you looking like fool to these niggas. So Shakur, what I think was after this fight, because he had mentioned Shakur, I'm thinking I'm staying at 135. Because him and Shakur grew up sparring, and there was always debates on who was going to be the better fighter. Shakur's in the Olympics, going to the Olympics, and old boy's under Mayweather. Mayweather said he's going to be the GOAT. He went to Mexico and started fighting there, started at like 17. He's a prodigy, right? So it's going to be them meeting, and I think they was going to meet next. But I think after he got cooked, and Lomachenko has, you saw his feet, nigga. The nigga's like fighting a ghost, you feel me? Yeah. And also, you know what I'm saying, like he got a weird rhythm. And boxing is about rhythm. You can figure somebody's rhythm out. You got him. He figured that motherfucker out in the fifth, sixth round. You feel what I'm saying? And Devin just looked confused. And you know who else fights? You know, has great feet. And also, like, you can't really... Shakur. And I think they was talking about having that Shakur fight next. Shakur was in the ring because they was going to do a little shit talking. And Haney ran his ass about the ring before she could talk to Shakur. Because Shakur saw food and was going to tell that nigga exactly what time it was.
Did you see that pic of Shakur looking at him like he was food in that ring?
I posted it on his... Shakur posted on his IG. Like, you know what I'm saying? My destiny is here. You feel me? Mm. He looked at that image. He looked at this nigga like, ooh. And Shakur, after he beat... His last fight, he said, I'm going to tell y'all some shit. He said, me and Tank, and the Shakur don't, he don't never cap. He give it, if he think you a bum, he going to tell you a bum. If he think you a dog, he going to tell you a dog. He said, me and Tank will be a good scrap. I think that's the best fight in boxing. I agree. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because Shakur doesn't get hit, and they both have supercomputers. Loma has a supercomputer. Haney ain't got that supercomputer where he just figures motherfuckers out. Yeah. He's athletic. He's bigger. He uses his athleticism. These niggas got supercomputers. You know what I'm saying? But dog, like but Shakur said after that last fight, he said, not only am I gonna beat Haney, I think you'll be surprised when I make easy work out of him. Mm. Tank, I'm gonna have to, you know what I'm saying? But Haney gonna be easy work, and I believe that shit. And to be 100% honest, I know Tank is a big draw, he's a cash cow, but I think Shakur is the motherfucking one. Yeah. That nigga's boxing IQ is not like anybody's I've seen at his age. He was fighting like Mayweather 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Mentally, not getting hit defensively. And now he got some pop. He's sitting on his punches. This motherfucker's standing right in motherfucker's face, not get hit. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to be difficult also for Tank as well. But that's going to be a good scrap. Tank got that equalizer. He can sit anybody. He can sit a horse down, unlike me. Sit a bull down. You feel what I'm saying? but yeah, man. Like that last night's fight, I ain't gonna put his name out there because he said he don't want to disparage Haney in front of the white people. But he said, I'm gonna text you personally and say, that white man beat Haney. You feel me? He said, I ain't going to say nothing for the white people, but Haney lost that fight. All my niggas, regardless of your rooting, you know what I'm saying, what you, who you rooting for, saw what was what went on last night. And the whole and that really deep, you know what I'm saying, weight class, that really deep, you know what I'm saying, weight class is, bro, he looking like food to everybody. Them belts ain't his for too much longer.
So do you think that we're getting Haney Shakur before the year is out? Because Haney's someone who talks a lot of shit, and Tank has been talking shit back to Haney like, bro, line it up. And Haney has been super quiet, you know, when those shots get thrown his way.
I think the thing is, this is I don't know. It depends on how you want to go out, because he's going out either way. Mm-hmm. He has a chance of being a Tank because Tank is so much taller than Tank. So he can use that jab and keep Tank at a distance. But I think Tank's going to figure him out and put that motherfucking equalizer on him. And he going to be spread the fuck out on his head. It's not a good look. You feel me? But also, as a dude that's known for his skill, you know, which is Haney's known. He's a skill boxer. You know what I'm saying? Shakur is going to make him look a particular way as well. And the way Shakur beats you up is just making you look stupid and brutalizing you. Boom, you know, just beating you up over time. He ain't got that equalizer, but he got that pop though. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know, I think either way, I think one way he's gonna be, I go out on his back. The other one, he'll go outstanding, but it'll be a TKO, nigga. Because I think Shakur gonna cook him too. But so I think the Shakur fight will happen first. It depends if he wants to, you know, do that first and not go out super sad and like may have his brand take a big hit, you know, because that box is about that. You know what I mean? Popularity and brand. Or, you know, he wants to get the big bag, go for gusto, you know, potentially have a chance. But if he get figured out, like, I think Tank is a very, very smart fighter. Very fucking smart. Yes. Niggas, very smart. You know what I'm saying? Niggas think he's, because he's, you know, doesn't speak a lot and all that. But I think he's going to figure him out and sit his ass down. You feel me? He fool either way to me.
Yeah, they
think. And he's a great fighter. I'm not saying this is a nigga that don't like Haney. I don't like what he did in that standoff when he pushed Loma. Come on, bro. And then you get bullied in a fight by the little nigga. You feel me? That was weak. But yeah, man, embarrassing yourself in front of all the black folk.
I mean, just because Tank might be an IG live, honey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, that motherfucker's boxing mind is incredible. He knows what
dude, like you said. Yeah, Tank out there, he be putting that shit on, got all, you know what I'm saying? He be out here looking cute, taking photos and all that shit.
Dancing in his papa's church shoes. You seen that clip?
All of that shit. He be in it with draws on, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Goofy nigga shit. Yeah. But he a motherfucking lion in that fucking ring. Yeah. He's a lion with a computer as big as a fucking room, you know what I mean? And that's what he does. He's the most efficient puncher in boxing. He doesn't throw a lot, but when he does throw, it generally lands, and when he lands, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, yeah, you saw he was playing Garcia, and not only did Garcia supposed to be one of the fastest fighters. They talking about that fast, right? He said there was a clip after. He's like, he's so slow. He's so good, nigga. You said, like, you think that's slow? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a different mind in boxing. You know what I mean? So. Yeah, G. We got a lot to look forward to, but they talked about four kings. I think it was like Garcia, Haney, Shakur, and Tank. I think it's Tank. I think the kings is really Shakur and Tank, and I think because Shakur's boxing IQ is just god tier at his age. You know what I mean? I think he's the best, but with that equalizer, you can never count Tank out. That fight, that scrap will be, nigga. Charge $200. I'm paying that shit. Fuck it, nigga. You only live once. I'm a hate pressing the button when I press pay, but I'm gonna pay for that motherfucker. That fight gonna be beautiful. That's gonna be.
You can come over here and watch it on someone's Facebook stream with me.
Okay. You got the scribble scrambler in there. What we got over there, G?
Oh yeah, we're good.
Okay, you got all of that. Yeah. Run me that. Okay, yeah. You know, okay. My guy, I love it. Well, I'll pull up. And you'll want to watch that fight too, Mike, for real. It's going to be a good scrap.
I'll always be happy to watch a fight with other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And I want to say this Loma Haney scrap was a good scrap. It was tainted with like something like that 112-116 card was bad. You feel me? And there were some really close rounds. So I get, you know, but at best, it was a draw. You know what I mean? This is the fight that people bought wanted to see if when they bought Garcia Tank. They wanted to see a close fight like this. Was no way that was going to happen.
Like, what would a better tiebreaker be for boxing? Like, in soccer, we have penalty kicks. You know what I mean? Like, should they, like, maybe just, like, play a boxing video game against each other if it goes to a decision or something? Like, something better than two dudes fighting each other for however long, and then you're sitting around waiting for someone to turn a scorecard in.
Like, I mean, back in the day, wasn't
let
it like
the cornerman slapbox, bro?
Right.
Let the cornerman slapbox.
But you know, there's some historical precedent to that. This is my second. You know what I mean?
Didn't they used to have fight like 20 round fights that you just fought till you couldn't fight no more? You know what I'm saying?
If you look at like the history of like the bare knuckle fights like that,
I mean, 43 round fights and shit.
Yeah,
like, and just till the motherfucker fight, just stop coming out.
And dudes would fight on Saturday and Sunday.
Bro, it was 15 round fights until a dude literally got killed in the ring in like the 14th round. Then they reduced that shit to 12.
Yeah. I remember.
Why boxing.
Ali Frazier
goes
like 16 or something. Ali Frazier and I think Frazier just finally said, "Bro, I just can't get up for another round." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think Ali at one point said,
"Foreman."
Was it Foreman?
Yeah.
I thought he sat Foreman that big ass down. But
No. You're right. He sat Foreman down. Frazier didn't come.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember Frazier saying that was the closest he felt to death when he couldn't like.
Right. And that same round when he did get off, I think Ali said, "Yo, cut these gloves off of me." Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If I after this round, I don't like and Frazier didn't get up. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, they was fighting till just you literally couldn't fight no more. I'm glad they made that illegal, brother. That's not a sport. You got to dance with death every time you get into the ring, bro. That shit, you know, it's already dangerous enough, G.
All right, that's all the time we got for Jenkins and Jones tonight. We'll be back on Wednesday night. Hopefully there's a Lakers game on that night, but they got to earn a post-game show from us by winning on Monday. We'll see what happens. We'll talk to y'all.
Let's get to the finals,
days.
Baby.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.